we're ending with a banger, Jesus the Overcomer. That's exciting, right? You can just tell by the feeling of the music, you know, what this is all going to be about. We should be running out of here like Rocky, you know, climb the nearest hill. I think there's one over on Oakton near the Steak and Shake. Grab a shake, then climb that hill, you know, to end the series. So Overcomer, we love this topic. We love when people overcome hardships, whether it's cancer or depression or unhealthy lifestyles or oppression or abuse or learning disorders or debt or fear or a bad hair day. We love when people overcome a bad hair day or bitterness or guilt or laziness or lying or pride. We love overcomer stories. We love to read about them. We love to watch documentaries on them. We rally behind them. We celebrate behind them. And when obstacles are overcome, we love it. Because overcoming is the opposite of defeat. Overcoming means you weren't beat, you weren't conquered, you weren't trounced, you weren't thrashed, you weren't overpowered. To overcome means that you did something, that someone did not get the better of you, that you triumphed over, that you prevailed, that you outclassed, that you did not get crushed. Overcome means you didn't give up. Overcome is a success, right? You conquered. You defeated. You prevailed. We like that. Actually, we love that. I did a survey of the Northside community. 99.44% of you said you'd rather overcome than be crushed. You know, those are good numbers. Those are really good. And we love movies about overcoming, right? Can you imagine if you watched The Sound of Music, all right, and they didn't make it to Austria, okay, and they didn't hold hands and sing Climb Every Mountain? You would be, if little Greta got captured by the Germans, you would be very upset that she did not overcome, right? Because we don't like that kind of stuff. We don't like Field of Dreams. Ever see this movie? It's kind of a long read. What happens if he didn't build the baseball field? Shorter movie, but not as fun, right? Not as fun. How about this one? What happens in Karate Kid, the final match against the evil dojo? What happens if he lost? Not a good overcoming story, right? What about Rocky? You know I use him all the time. I have to use him all the time. What is if we watch 6, 7 sequels and he never won one match? Not one match. We would not like that. Reminds me of my son Cameron. I can say this because he's not here today. Fourth grade soccer, 0-26 for the season. 26 games. That's painful, not just for the players, but for the parents, all right? That's not an overcoming story. But we love stories of overcoming, whether they're fictional or they're non-fictional. Listen to this true story, all right? This lady here, listen to her story. In 2000, Oprah show guest Kelly, all right? As a baby, Kelly was left on the side of the road in Vietnam by her parents. She had a short stay in a local orphanage, and then in 1975, she was part of Operation Baby Life, a program that evacuated thousands of babies from Vietnam. Kelly was placed on a plane destined for the U.S., but her journey did not go smoothly. The plane crashed, killing 150 passengers. She lived through that. She was eventually adopted by a couple in Seattle, but the obstacles did not stop there. At age 11, she was diagnosed with leukemia. With fight and determination, Kelly overcame her disease and went on to become a healthy, successful adult. That's a pretty big story. Left on the side of the road, orphanage, plane crash, leukemia, all by the age of 12. And she overcame that. We love those stories. It's what the whole Oprah Network's based on. We love it, right? Reality TV, we feel good about those success stories like extreme home makeovers, and you're crying as they build the house because they overcame something so huge. We love the concept of overcoming, but we have a hard time believing that we can be a part of that story. We have a hard time believing that we can be the main players in an overcoming story, that we could prevail, that we could conquer an obstacle, that we could win against the hardships and suffering. We love the concept of overcoming, but we doubt if it's possible for us. We say, man, I can't overcome depression. I can't overcome my lying, my pride, my debt, my self-harming, my insecurities, my anger, my medical issue, my marriage problems, my fears, my doubts, my hidden sins that keep surfacing. I can't overcome them. And we tell ourselves we'll never be able to overcome them, or we'll never be able to overcome what was done to us, what we were a victim of, or we'll never be able to overcome what maybe we did to somebody else that caused them to be a victim. We believe others can do those magnificent stories, but we believe we can't. I don't want to be a downer, but we're kind of right. We can't, on our own, overcome anything. But did you know this? Oh, that's a beautiful slide there that I forgot I put in. All right, there we go. John 16:33 says this. This is Jesus talking. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because, read this with me in orange, I have overcome the world. Oh, that's good stuff. And then it keeps going on. 1 John 4:4 says, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people. Read the orange with me. Because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. If you have trusted, if you've become a Christian, if you are saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ for your sins, that you have become a follower of God, you have become a Christian, you have become his child. 1 John 1:12 says, but to all who believed him and accepted them, he gave them the right to become children of God. When you become a child of God, you get the Spirit of God right inside you. You house God. That's serious stuff. You house God. And if he's an overcomer, then you are the overcomer because God, the Almighty, resides inside you. You can overcome anything. And when you become a child of God, the very first thing you overcome, this little thing called death, you overcome death. That's a bragging right there. Okay, people say, I overcame running the mile, or I overcame getting rid of gluten in my diet, or whatever. You overcame death. That's monstrous. Romans 8:14-16 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have now received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's spirit, read this orange with me, when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Paul uses this adoption scenario because in the culture that he's writing, the Roman culture, very similar to adoption is for us today. When you were not in your biological family anymore and you became adopted, you came into an adopted family, you received all the rights a biological child would receive, everything. The adopted child became the full heir to the father's estate, everything. When we become a child of God, when we trust Jesus as our Savior, we gain all the privileges and all the responsibilities of a child in God's family. So what's God's inheritance to us? Heaven, an eternal, breathtaking, no pain, no tears, no sickness, dwelling place for all eternity. That is huge. That is huge. And why do we get this? Because we get all the benefits of being God's kid. We get all the benefits. He overcame sin and death, so we get to overcome sin and death. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thank God he gives us, in orange, victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. We ride on the coattails of Jesus' victory over sin and death. We win because we're on his team. We automatically win. I hope I'm not bringing up a painful experience for some of you, but do you remember picking teams in gym class in middle school, right? It was either a very wonderful experience for you or a very painful experience for you. And I'm sorry, I think Jill's going to be on hand afterwards if this was a painful experience for you. Okay, so because she knows. But I think it's a great illustration. I have studied middle school team picking because this still happens in my son's school, okay? And there, I figure there's three types of captains in middle school team picking. All right, there's a picture. Bring back some painful visuals, all right? First type of captain, friends, captains who pick their friends. Doesn't matter if your friend has two broken legs and one arm. You are picking your friend because you are all about the besties, right? Doesn't matter if they've even heard of baseball. You will pick them for your team because that's what kind of captain you are. The second type, this is rare. Only one in 7,426 middle schoolers do this. Compassionate pickers, all right? These are the pickers who have been around enough times to know, that person never gets picked out of the first 10. When I get my chance, I'm picking them. It's a compassionate picker. It's rare, but it happens. There are compassionate pickers. And then number three, picks the best. This is whatever it takes, Captain. Doesn't matter if you stole his girlfriend or she set your locker on fire. You will pick this person for your team because they are the best. My son Cameron is a number three, all right? He is a number three. When it's his turn to be captain in PE, because I always ask him what they play. I love PE. So I just say, hey, did you pick your best? He has a best friend named Cameron. I'm like, hey, did you pick Cameron on your team? He's like, no. I'm like, did you pick Josh or Ethan? No. Then he goes, why would I do that? And then he follows up with who he did pick. And you may hear something like this. I picked Grace because she is the best at badminton. I picked Tom because he's the best at basketball. I picked Bella because she is the fastest runner in the seventh grade. The goal for Cameron is winning. He picks to win. Cam rides on the skills of the teammate he chooses. And you will see this at game night. If you're good at Balderdash or Uno, he'll be on your team and he'll throw mom out the window, all right? Our goal, if our goal is overcoming, okay, if that is our goal, to overcome whatever is in our life, then we made the right choice. We were the right captain to pick Jesus for our team because he assures us of the victory. He assures us of the victory. Because we are God's kids, we don't have to pay for the penalty of sin, the punishment we actually deserve. Because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Read the orange with me. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. He's the victor. He's the winner. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you have overcome death. It's the best overcomer story I've ever heard. You don't have to worry about dying or eternity, or the unknown abyss of the afterlife, the scales of good or evil, because you have already overcome death. That's a big deal. But you may say to me, because this is what I would be thinking if I'm in your seats, and this is what I was thinking this week as I prepared this, that's great for the future. That's fantastic. I am thankful that I am going to overcome death and have eternity in heaven. I'm very thankful. But you may be saying to me right now, what about the battles of today? What about the struggles that I'm having in this very moment? What about the tears and fears that kept me up last night? What about the thoughts I'm having right now as I sit here? I'm trying to focus, but my mind keeps reeling on the issues I'm having. What about the feeling of dread I have every day as I check my mail, hoping that there's not a new bill in there? What about that? Is there something this side of heaven for overcoming? Romans 8:17 says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory, but we are to share his glory, and we must also share his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will relieve to us later. So you got to pause. You got to be like, so no? Does that mean no? Does that mean there's no overcoming for me here on earth because we have eternity to think of? All right, Paul's writing this letter. He's writing to the first century Christians, and they too had a lot of problems. You know, different century, still problems, right? Most of their problems occurred because they trusted Jesus Christ as their Messiah. So what happened to them is they became outcasts in their community. Because they believed Jesus was the Messiah, their life centered around the temple didn't work for them anymore. And their friends, who they traded services with for their businesses, didn't work anymore because now they were seen as outcasts or crazy people who went the other way. And this affected their economy, and this affected their money situations. This affected their friendships. It affected everything in their life, and they were suffering. No matter what century you live in, suffering is suffering, right? Pain is pain. We like to say as adults, school was much harder back then, or school's much harder than suffering is suffering, no matter how you look at it. Obstacles are obstacles. And true, we have this blissful eternity to look forward to, but there still is pain in the day-to-day. Can that be overcome? Can that be overcome? Let's go back to what we read before. Read the orange with me. I have told you this all so that you may have peace in me here on earth. Here on earth. Okay, sorry. I had to really hit that one. I'm going to say it again. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart because I have overcome the world. Everyone at one point and another is going to have trials and sorrows. We all do it. And sometimes that makes you feel good, or sometimes that makes you say, but I have more than them. You know, they don't seem to have so many trials or sorrows as I have. Everybody faces it. Everyone goes through it. Now, I want you to hear me very closely here, church, okay? To overcome a situation doesn't always mean that the problem or the trial goes away. That's our idea of overcoming. Overcoming doesn't mean that the bully in school moves away. Overcoming doesn't mean that your neighbor sells the house and leaves. Overcoming doesn't mean that your rich uncle shows up and pays off all your debt, or you get a scratch off and you got $40,000. You know, overcoming doesn't mean that your spouse finally just has eyes for you. That's not overcoming. If that was overcoming, then it would mean it has nothing to do with the Spirit of God that we house inside us. That's what overcoming is about. The Spirit of God we house, not all the circumstances around us, because it gives them the power, not the power that's inside us. Overcoming is about the Spirit of God inside us. We overcome death because Jesus overcome death. We can now overcome hardships and suffering in life because Jesus overcame the world. Overcoming is about us and the Spirit of God in us, not about others or our circumstances. If we learn that, that's going to change a lot of how we see things. We can overcome our bitterness for a family member, but we can't make our family member say sorry or change. You see the difference? We can overcome our addiction to some type of sin, let's say pornography, but we can't stop the internet from existing. We can overcome our habit of lying or manipulation, but we can't make others give us what we want. We can overcome our depression, but we can't necessarily take away the circumstances that's leading us towards that. We can overcome our worry about our sickness, but we can't necessarily take away our sickness and be healed. There's a difference. And 1 John 4:4 says, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. The object of our suffering may remain, but our response, our reactions, is what makes for the overcoming story. So how do we overcome? How do we overcome in this life? There's the question up there. Ephesians 6:10 says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. First thing you're going to do in order to come, you choose the right team captain, right? Cameron's on to something. You pick the one. You pick Christ, the overcomer. You join his team. This is salvation. This is trusting in Jesus for your sins, asking his forgiveness, and becoming a child of God. You join his team. If you want to overcome without him, you're going to have a very long, excruciating, painful time trying to do it. You join his team. That is what you do. You tell him you're sorry for your sin. You pray to him. And then you house the living God. That's amazing. I still can't wrap my head around that, but we house the living God. What do you do next? You participate. If you want to overcome, you can't sit around and watch. Imagine you were picking Jesus for your dodgeball team because he's the best, all right? You pick him for your dodgeball team, but you cower in the corner like this. You don't pick up a ball. You don't play. You don't move. You don't dodge. He may win the game, but you got picked out and you're sitting on the sidelines. You got to play the game. You have to participate. If Jesus was the general in your army because you chose him because he's the best and you hid in the bunker and he didn't follow strategy and you didn't follow his rules and you didn't do his training, you're still going to get hurt. We have to participate with the overcomer. We just can't sit behind him and say, okay, you do it. You're the overcomer. You're great. You can't do that. Overcoming is not passively waiting. It's not. It's fighting alongside the overcomer. How do you do that? First thing you do is you choose peace and joy. So you receive this message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. You chose joy despite severe suffering, not minor suffering, not average suffering, severe suffering. Romans 15:13. I pray that God, this is the same scripture written to the same group of people who are suffering. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with, say the orange with me, joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not saying you pray and all of a sudden, bam, the obstacle's gone. Or bam, that person's gone. Or bam, that situation is gone. They're saying you overcome by choosing a life of joy and peace. This is what Paul encouraged the very first century Christians to do. It's a choice to participate in joy and peace. Second thing we can do, it is a heaven mindset. Romans 8:17, yet we suffer now, it is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. You know, we want relief now, but the reality is we do have an eternity to look forward to. I mean, that's good. I mean, we're not just saying, well, this is it. We're going through this life. We're done. We do have an eternity to look forward to. There is an end. It is coming. There is an end to the suffering. When we start living with heaven as our mindset, it does change how we react and our perceptions and how we view this world. It is a changer in our lives. The next thing we can do is up faith and fight back. We need to put faith, stop putting the faith in what we can do and put our faith in what God can do. We got to change how we view that. You know, some of our hardships we face have to do with spiritual attack. They do. And Satan knows exactly what your vulnerable spots are. He has me pegged. He knows exactly where my vulnerability is. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our triggers. You know, Northside, we're getting ready for a big board game series. You know how I love board games, right? So I have an illustration for you, just a little teaser on Battleship, all right? It's one of my all-time favorite games. For those of you who have played this, I don't know if you ever played with somebody who doesn't have a poker face, right? You B12 them, and you see it all over their face that they got a ship at B13. You know, they've paused, and they look at it twice, and they go, miss, you know, and their voice changes and you go, I'm close. I am close to getting a hit on them. Satan knows your sweet, vulnerable spots. And once he gets that hit on you, he just keeps throwing missile after missile after missile after missile until what happens? You sank my battleship, right? You sank my courage, you sank my confidence in my marriage, you sank my discipline for good, healthy eating, you sank me. He attacks you until he overcomes you. So what do you do when someone's shooting missiles at you? You put up a big shield, right? And God's word says this, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. There's a shield to stop the missiles that he's going to be attacking you to so that you do be overcome by him. There's a whole section of scripture dedicated to spiritual attacks. Faith is our shield. The bigger the faith, the bigger our shield, the less missiles that are going to hit us. The more we know about God and his word, the bigger the shield, the less missiles that are going to hit us. The smaller our faith, the smaller the shield, the more times you're going to be hit. I mean, think about it. If you get to know someone better, truly, authentically know them better, you're either going to trust them more or trust them less. And God's saying, when you get to know me and you get to know me more through my word, your faith in me is going to increase so much that when Satan starts sending out missiles and attacks and fiery darts at you, they're going to bounce right off because you know me better than that. And you know this is my town, not his. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation as your helmet and read this with me. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You're going to pick up your defense and then you're going to fight back. Because God's word is our weapon. If we just had Battleship where we just kept having missiles thrown at us and we never shot back a C-12 or an E-7, you know, if we never shot back, we are not going to win. The word of God is our weapon. And this word in here, which is the word of God, where it says word there, this is actually the word rhema. And it means to proclaim or speak God's word. to audibly proclaim or speak God's word, there is power there. I'm going to show you an example. Say you're having a hard time overcoming bitterness. All right, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Read the next part with me, though it's not in orange, but let's do it anyways. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. That's your C-12 back. That's your missile back. Satan's going to bombard you and say, it's okay for you to be bitter. They deserve it. It's okay for you to be mad. You know, they betrayed you in some way. And then you strike back the missile with God's word. What about if you are feeling overcome? Maybe you're feeling like there's no possible way you can be loved. You're not lovable. Read this with me. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. You start having Satan throw missiles at you that you're not lovable, you're not good enough, you're ugly, no one's ever going to marry you, no one's ever going to stay married to you, your kids don't like you, kids like somebody else better, blah, 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 blah. You shout that back at him. You know, that's going to take out the whole, that's going to take out the destroyer, all right? The whole 5-point battleship won. And you are going to, and he's going to start to get tired of fighting at you because he knows you're fighting him back with God's word. Last one. Put on Jesus. And I love when Carol prays about something that I feel God's talking to me about too. You know, a lot of the times we feel overcome because of our own bad choices, right? And we feel like we can't overcome an area of sin in our lives. And we begin to doubt if we're good enough. We start to believe, man, we shouldn't even be sitting in church, much less serving in church, right? Or we feel like we aren't a good Christian role model for our kids, or not a good enough mother, or father, or friend, or elder, or Sunday school teacher, or leader. We start thinking about our lives, and we view our lives like a star chart, right? We think about all the bad things we've done, and none of the good things. And we start to evaluate ourselves and say, you know, I really missed the mark in patience. You know, I didn't put down the frying pan. You know, I missed the star in good language. I missed the star in forgiveness and letting go. I didn't get a star in pure thoughts. And we start to feel overwhelmed, right? And honestly, it makes us think that we just need to give up because we're never going to be mature enough in our faith. We're never going to live godly lives. But here's the great thing about choosing Jesus on your team and as your overcomer. Our star chart becomes his star chart. Our star chart becomes his star chart because we put on his righteousness. Not our own. We wear his righteousness. It says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. It's not our own. We don't have the power to live sin-free lives, but God has the power to live sin-free life. Because we house God. We have the power to say no to the sins that keep being thrown in our face, the ones that we keep going back to be patterns of. It's his righteousness. The same righteousness that gives us entrance into heaven because we can't make it on our own. It's his righteousness that will allow us to overcome the sin or the attitudes or the mindsets in our life. Overcome. You know, we can have that overcoming movie story. Or be, you know, on the panel of an Oprah show. We could. We can. Because God is able to do anything. He is the overcomer. We can't change others, and we can't change our circumstances sometimes, but we can overcome. Because we house the Spirit of God. And if we choose him as our captain and become his child, if we participate fully with joy and peace and heaven in our mindset, we can build our faith, our shield, right? We can put on God's word to fight back those attacks, and we can claim through the power of Jesus what he did against sin and death. We wear his righteousness, and we overcome sin, and we live godly lives. And when we do that, there is nothing we cannot overcome. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thank you. It's great to tell your story because you're like 4,000-0. You're awesome. And what people thought was going to be your end by having you die on the cross, it was the moment of victory for us through your death and resurrection. Thank you, God, for being on our team. Thank you for taking us into battle, Father, and help us to participate with you fully so that we not only receive the joy of overcoming death and have eternity with you, but that we overcome every moment, every hour, every day, every week of our lives. Because you are the overcomer. It's in your name we pray. Amen.